Without mantras or manifestos, 29 writers serve up sweet and candid memories in the new book, The Castaway Saved Our Marriage. It's an anthology of original essays about how we learn and relearn to eat and how pivotal food is beyond the table. We welcome the editor of the project, Lisa Catherine Harper. Lisa, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
How did you come to this project?
Well, my co-editor and I, Caroline Grant, we met over other writing projects, and we realized we both had an interest in food. And as I had this idea in my head for a book with the title Learning to Eat, and I approached Caroline with it, and we began talking about what the book could be. And we came to the conclusion that there were a lot of books out there that talk about what we should eat, local, seasonal, organic, how we should cook for the kids, but there was less about sustainable family food culture than there was about sustainable food. And we wanted to edit the book and collect stories that were really about sustainable family food culture, not just about sustainable family food. And that was really where the project started. We wanted to get away from judgment. We wanted to get away from rules. We wanted to get away from the kind of guilt and shame that sometimes are inflicted on parents and talk more about how real families are really eating every single day and why that matters.
So let's investigate that culture a little bit for a moment of what is inherent in that and what we know about that culture.
Well, one of the conclusions we came to is that for kids, all food is family food. Really, until you're on your own feeding yourself, almost everything you eat in relationship. You eat three meals a day, save for school lunch, you know, that with your family. Someone shops for you, someone cooks for you, someone serves you. So the food that we give our kids is always eaten in relationship, and it really does reflect our family culture, and it reflects our family priorities. So we thought that, you know, even if we're all bringing home the same bag of groceries, we're eating it and serving it and cooking it in very different kinds of ways.
How did you find these particular writers, this group of 29?
Well, you know, some of it, we tapped our friends who were writers. We approached food writers who were established, like Jeff Gordonier, who's a writer for the New York Times. We asked Neil Pollack to contribute. And most people were really, really excited about the idea. And we sent out calls for papers as far and as wide as we could. And one of the things that we wanted to do was get some established food writers, but also get people who were not established food writers, people who were parents, people who had something to say that was beyond the normal conversation. So, for instance, we have a writer named Chris Malcolm who doesn't write about food. He writes personal essays, and he teaches a class in mindful writing. But he happens to be the grandson of Giovelli's, which is one of the oldest Italian restaurants in Boston. And so he wrote about how the red sauce that was passed down from his great-great-grandfather affected his life.
And you get such a broad view then of the impact of food and family. And this notion of how we learn to eat, and it is so genetic, isn't it?
I think it is genetic. I mean, I think it's genetic to each family, and I think every family really does learn to eat in different ways. For instance, Disha Filia, who writes about parenting but not food so much, gave us a story about how she learned to eat in the kitchen of her, and she learned to cook in the kitchen of her grandmother and her mother, both of whom cooked soul food. But her daughters didn't really know what soul food was, because with all the soul food came a lot of health problems in her family, and she wanted to avoid that with her kids. So she really struggled with, how do I connect my children with their family heritage, their family history, and, you know, their regional and their ethnic background, but also keep them healthy. We have another story by Barbara Rushkoff, who writes about being raised kosher, but sort of kosher. You know, they ate shrimp, which you're not supposed to eat, but still preserving that tradition for her kids matters. And so writers, they write about the struggles they have with what to preserve, what to change, how family food evolves, What do you teach your kids about what's important? You know, balancing health with tradition and health with culture.
What is apparent in the 29 essays is how personal it is, isn't it?
It's very personal. And I think that the title essay, The Castaway Saved Our Marriage, you know, speaks to that kind of personal daily struggle that, you know, we all have in our families that's reflected in our food. The cassoulet is it's a French casserole dish, and the title story is about a husband and wife, and it's co-written. It's the only co-written piece in the volume, and it's written by Deborah Kopakin-Kogan, who is a novelist, and her husband Paul, who does most of the cooking in the family, and they had established, after being married for quite some time, a tradition of an annual cassoulet dinner where they invited friends and family to come feast with them. And their kids began to think it was a real holiday and that everyone celebrated Cassoulet Day. But the essay is really about what happens when they hit a rough patch in their marriage, as most long-term relationships do, and how they needed to rebuild their marriage one step at a time, one day at a time, one ingredient at a time, the same way that Paul builds the cassoulet every year from scratch over, you know, a three-day process. That it's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of effort, and the food, for better or worse, reflects our relationships.
Talking about the writers, and we mentioned this, but just to underscore their diversity of their backgrounds and the diversity of the people that you found to write, and I assume that was a conscious effort.
It was absolutely a conscious effort. We really, really wanted to get to show a range of family food traditions, you know, everything from the kosher to the soul food to the local organic sustainable to, you know, Keith Blanchard, who was a founder of Maxim. And you don't really think of him ever as a food writer or even as somebody who writes about parenting, but he writes about his sweet tooth and his candy addiction and the part that played in his childhood and in his kids' childhood. We really did want to show that, you know, American food may not be simple, it may not be unique, but these traditions absolutely exist in everybody's family. And one thing that every family can do, you know, in the midst of our busy, busy lives, is look at the things that we're already doing well and build on those small actionable things. Maybe you can't have family dinner together every single night, but maybe you can have, you know, dinner and a movie every Friday night. Catherine Newman writes a beautiful essay about how she cultivates table talk and table conversation with her kids and how that's helped sustain their growing family. But we really did want to have a range, not just your usual suspects. We wanted to have new writers, emerging writers, writers who write about parenting, and also writers who write about food.
The name of the book is The Cassoulet Saved Our Marriage, True Tales of Food, Family, and How We Learn to Eat. Lisa Catherine Harper is the co-editor. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, The Cassoulet Saved Our Marriage. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.